I started on Sunday morning on the Tree of Life. I realize some of you may not have been here, and I knew it was too much to deal with in one message, and I want to try to finish that because we have gone now from the general view of the Holy City to the external view or exterior view of the city, and now it's as though John is transported through the revelation to the inside of the city, telling us a little bit about the Holy City. Have you ever thought about how precious that heaven will be in this respect? When a five-year-old dies, and in 5 seconds, they know more than the top 50 theologians that have ever lived while they were on this earth. Oh, glory to God. There's no way that I can describe to you how precious that this place is. There's two aspects of it. One is what we read from the Word that I'll read to you tonight. But yet we know that even though eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, we also know that He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. I know enough about heaven to know this. I want to go. And I believe you want to go. And that's why you're here on this Wednesday night. Now, when we get there, we've talked about what it's going to be like around the city, the size of the city. But I dealt on Sunday morning with some things about the Tree of Life. I know some of you may not have heard those things. You may disagree with me. You pray for me. I'm still trying to learn. I just appreciate the presence of God on Sunday morning. But probably the Tree of Life is preached about. It's mentioned more than anything, but it's preached about less than anything as a topic by itself or a subject by itself. We know with the mentions of the Tree of Life here in the book of Revelation, there's really three verses that I want to pull out tonight. First, in Revelation 2 and verse 7. Revelation 2 and verse 7. Let's read it together. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to what? To eat of the tree of life, which is in the what? Midst of the paradise of God. Now turn to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. And we'll read two verses. Here's a description of the tree of life. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare, verse 2, bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, you may not realize it, but that's why a lot of people don't preach about the tree of life, because what I just read to you. Because they're afraid that it can become controversial. And I hope to tell you why before I finish this message tonight. Then go, if you will, in verse 14. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Well, I think there's three basic things that I want to leave you with tonight about the tree of life. I had tried to show a pattern from Genesis where the tree was in the Garden of Eden, and it's important that you remember that if you were here on Sunday morning, because I'll refer back to that because I think it answers a lot of questions that may arise as controversy from some people by what I just read to you here in the second verse of the 22nd chapter. And then how that the meaning of the word is the same word where that Christ bare our sins on the tree. The cross is the tree of life. It is a symbol of the tree of life that is yet to come for the believer. But now, let's look at this. First, I want you to notice the position of the tree of life in the holy city. That's why I read chapter 2 and verse 7, because he makes it very plain where this tree is located. It's in the midst of the paradise of God. And you can try to sum it up any way you want to sum it, but let me just get right to the point. It's in the middle of the city. In other words, it's the focal point of the city. You have the Lamb, which is the supreme focal point. And the throne, from the throne comes a river. That river is the river of the water of life. And the water of life, that river of the water of life, flows through the tree of life. Because that river is like a street, it's clear as crystal. And when you read about the tree of life, it's located in the middle to tell us that there's access, equal access, for everyone that's in the holy city. Now let's get this right. With God and His children, there's no big I's and little U's. God's not going to love me more in heaven than He loves you. And the thing that matters most important of all is that we made it there. And we all have access to this tree. It's accessible to all the children of God that are residents inside the holy city of God that John's describing here. Also, it has a source. It's not like any other tree that you know here. And I guess that's probably what bothers me about a lot of commentaries you read. They just make this out to be like any other tree. It's not like any other tree. For one thing, it's not planted in soil. This tree doesn't grow in soil. Read it close. You'll find out that there's a river of water, of life, clear as crystal, that's coming from the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. A river runs through it. It's life supporting and life sustaining, because the water of life is what's feeding it. And the water of life comes from the Lamb on the throne. So it's right back to Christ. And here we are. If you go to a lot of commentaries again and read, they would like for you to look at this in the Greek, and here's basically what they say. Because here's why no one preaches on it. It's on either side of the river. But yet, it's a tree. So what they try to do is stretch the Greek to try to make it sound like, no. What it is that there's trees of life on both sides of the river. Well, then you still got a problem. What about the one that's in the midst of the street, that's of the river that's like a street? What about it? It's not a lot of tree. I don't believe that. I believe there's one tree. I believe that tree is so big. Do you know that there are trees in this nation that are so big that they have archways cut in the tree and you can drive through the tree? Some of you have experienced that in your travels. Well, why do we think that it's not something special if on this earth we have the ability to go through a tree, that we can drive through a tree? That means that tree is on both sides of the road. Here you have a tree that's in the river, and also the river running through it. And then on both sides of the river is the same tree. You know what that means? Doesn't matter what side of the river I'm living on, I can still get to the tree. This is something that is of significance to us, to understand the position of the tree of life. Then not only is there the position, but there's the produce, the fruit of it. You've only got two interpretations from it. It bears 12 manner of fruit. And it bears that through a year. Now, here's why you don't hear it preached on again. They can't explain how it's on both sides. And then, if there's no time in heaven, how does John know what a year is? Because he's talking about the cycles. Just like we have spring, summer, winter, and fall. The only thing that he could equal it to, so that they could understand, was he said it's like a month. Because it happens, there's 12 manner of fruit that come on it, which tells us there's variety. Aren't you glad that heaven's going to be a place of variety? I mean, if it's like a lot of people think, if heaven is a place where there's no variety, you know, really, a fellow told me one time, he was being honest. I said, don't you want to go to heaven? No, I don't want to go to heaven. I said, why? He said, I'm a golfer. And I said, I have to tell you, I was set back. I said, what's that got to do with heaven? He said, well, if every time you swing the club, it's a hole in one, what fun is it then? Do you see? And I'm not making fun of him. That's the idea that a lot of people have about heaven. They think if it's the same thing that we're doing over and over and over again, what fun will it be being there? It's a place of variety. There's got to be variety. Variety is inside of us. God places variety inside of us. There's few people that like eating the same thing every single meal. Most people like some variety. If we don't like variety, why is there so many different types of restaurants? Because we like variety. And people have always loved variety. That comes from God. He gives us that. So there's 12 manner of fruit. And some say that every month, the same 12 fruit comes on. I don't believe that. I believe every month, it's 12 different kind of fruit. In other words, I believe there'll be 144 manifestations from the tree of life. Because every month it bears these 12 fruit. You haven't got it yet, have you? It's not you, it's me. It's hard to get this across to you. See, God is a God of order and design. Don't you think it's just a little bit strange that He picked 12? 12 fruit? I mean, why 12? 7 is God's number of completeness. Why not 7? There's a reason. God does everything for a reason. And there's a reason why it's 12 in this passage. You see, when you look at the number 12, do you know the number 12 or the word 12 or 12 in your Bible? You know how many times it's in your Bible? 212 times. 12 is there 212 times. In creation, we see 12 multiplied over and over again. There's 12 months in a solar year. God designed it that way. We know when day and night was created, Jesus said in John 11:9, Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? The Jews believe that the day exists not from 6 in the morning to 6 of the night. They believe that the days existed from evening to the next evening, from 6 in the night, in the evening, until 6 of the morning, then 6 of the morning to 6 of the evening. He's saying you've got 12 hours of daylight to do your work. Now that doesn't mean that there's not an extended period of time where there's more daylight than that. He's saying I've designed you to be able to function in the daylight and to be at your best 12 hours a day. He also made us with 12 cranial nerves. Guess how I found that out? Bell's palsy will teach you a lot about cranial nerves. And he not only made us with 12 cranial nerves, but the average person has 24 ribs. 12 on each side. There are believed to be 12 major organs that you need to live a full quality life inside your body. You have more organs than that, but 12 are essential to have good quality in your life. He designed us with the number 12 in creation biblically. Do you know how important the number is biblically? Well, I'm going to tell you. 12 princes came from Ishmael in Genesis 17:20. 12 tribes came from Jacob in Genesis 35:22. There were 12 wells at Elim in Exodus 15:27. There were 12 stones that were used to make up the altar, and on the altar of God, it had 12 pillars, according to Exodus 24. There were 12 stones in the breastplate of the high priest. On the table of shewbread, there were 12 cakes. God sent 12 spies into the promised land in Deuteronomy 1:23 to spy out the land. When Joshua came to Jordan in Joshua 4, following Moses, when they were going into the promised land, they first put 12 stones in the Jordan River. Then they took 12 stones out of the Jordan River and made up an altar. 12 cities were divided among the 12 tribes in the promised land. 12 officers in the land were appointed to be the rulers of the land. There were 12 oxen that hold up the great brazen laver in the temple. We also know that Jesus chose 12 disciples. There were 120 in the upper room. That's 12 multiplied by 10. He chose 12 apostles. There's 12 foundations in heaven. There are 12 gates to the city. 12 is the number of divine order, of government, perfect divine government, and also the number of a new order, or something new starting. When the 12 sons of Jacob came, it produced a new nation called Israel. When the 12 apostles of Christ came about, it produced a new nation called the Church of the Living God. There's 12 manner of fruit for 12 months or 144 manifestations of the fruit. That's not unusual either, because we know the original Temple Mount, Solomon's original Temple Mount, when King Herod rebuilt the temple on the foundation of the Temple Mount, do you realize that it was exactly 144,000 square meters? Do you know how many will be sealed by the Lord, by the Lamb, in the book of Revelation? 144,000. 12,000 from each tribe. I'm saying that God says there's something about 12 in this book. There's 24 elders. I believe 12 from the Old Testament, 12 from the New Testament. But the 24 elders are there in the holy city. Let me say, God says this. There's a new government coming. There's a new order coming. There's a new day coming. There's a world coming where He'll rule as King forevermore. And He says He seals it with the number of 12. Not only that, but notice, it is producing this fruit in abundance, and it's unfailing. It just keeps coming on. Keeps coming on. Keeps coming on. Never stops. Don't you wish some things didn't stop? Kenny and I wishes that peaches grew all year long here in our area. We do. Howard, I wish your grapes came on every month. Probably wouldn't be good for me. I'd be in a diabetic coma from all the grape juice, but there's some things that, you know, you just wish that it could keep going and keep going and keep going. He's saying we'll be in a land where now good things seem to come to an end. But we're going to a city where it's never going to end. Every day will be new. Every month will be new. It won't be years to mark us by our age, but everything will be new. Thank God for the promise of newness that He gives. That's what He's stressing, what He said originally. Behold, I make all things new. So it's abundant and it's unfailing. And it has leaves. Leaves for the healing of the nations. Again, this is why this is avoided. Now think with me. If we're going to live forever, and if there is no curse, and if there is no sin, and if there is no sickness or sorrow, If we don't get sick, why do we need healing? And if we don't die, why do we need a tree of life? And because of that, most preachers say, oh, well. So they just choose not to preach on it. But I'm old enough now that I can go where angels dare to trod. And I'll tell you why that I believe. I believe it because it's really the meaning of that. The word healing there is the same word that we use for therapeutic. And while the leaves are there for the healing of the nation, they're not there merely because the nations are now sick. And the tree of life is not there because you won't die. So it's not there to keep you alive. You say, well, prove that, preacher. Well, since you ask, if you'll give me 2 minutes, I'll try to. Was there a tree of life in the Garden of Eden? Was there a tree of life in the Garden of Eden? Was it not there when Adam and Eve sinned? If they would not have eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would not have died. The tree of life was not the forbidden tree. But they would not have died had they not sinned. When sin came, death came. Follow me? So what's that mean before they sinned? They weren't going to die. But they still had a tree of life they could eat from. It's not that you will have to eat. It's just you get to eat because you can. There's a lot of times that I would just love to eat certain things, but I know I can't. But when I get to heaven, I can. And I don't have to eat it because I need more energy. And I don't have to eat it because it's just something that I like. I can just eat it because I can. My mind went back to my mother when we moved her over into hospice, and she'd been on dialysis all of those years, and mom was restricted. With any of you that have gone through dialysis, you understand she had congestive heart failure, and trying to walk that tight wire of dialysis and congestive heart failure, it was always a constant problem, because if you took too much fluid off, you took medications off with it, and if they didn't do it long enough, they didn't take enough off. And she built fluids from the congestive heart failure. And then if they didn't treat her right through dialysis, not at their own fault, it was her body's fault. But it was a battle. When she'd want something, she couldn't eat it because she was too sick to eat it. And then there were other things that she craved and wanted. But she couldn't eat it because it wasn't good for her dialysis and it wasn't good for her congestive heart failure. I remember when we moved her over into hospice. Two of my sisters here tonight, they'll remember it too. The first thing that we did was we talked to Mom and said, Mom, is there anything you'd like to eat? And I'll never forget the look on her face when she said, you mean I can have anything? And we all said, anything you want. She said, I would like a donut, a cream-filled donut, and a cup of coffee. They almost tripped over one another to get down the street to a donut shop and buy the donut. She never ate much of it. But the look on her face when I saw her take a bite of that donut, just to know that she could. Won't it be something to go home? When you go home, now when I go home of the night, if I want something, I know I can't eat it because as you get older, when you eat it, it stays with you all night long. But won't it be something to say, you know, I'm getting ready to lay down and take a little nap here just because, again, not because I'm tired, but because I want to. I
wanted to so much when I was alive that I couldn't. So now I can rest all I want to rest, and I can eat all that I want to eat. That's what the healing is for the nation. The healing is saying, you tried your governments and they failed. History failed throughout the years of creation. They could never get it right. But God says, now it's perfect. And now everything is right. And you'll be able to eat of the tree, and the leaves will be there just because we can.
What a promise from God. Abraham and the Old Testament saints walked on this earth, and they had three things that characterized their life. As they journeyed, they had the promises of God. They had an altar. And they had a tent. Abraham was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for what John saw. Why did they have a tent? Abraham, he was wealthy. He even confessed that it was the Lord that gave him the power to get the wealth that he had. He was wealthy. But even though he was wealthy, he didn't spend his wealth on some huge home. Do you know why? This world wasn't his home. That's why he kept traveling. That's why he kept clinging to the promise. And that's why they kept building altars. We're not home yet. But church, let me assure you, we still have the promises of God. There is a holy city. And there is a tree of life. And the tree of life will bear its manner of fruit. And there'll be plenteous and abundant and variety for all. And not only that, but also it'll be in a wonderful place where the leaves will be there for the healing of all nations. And we can. Finally, we can. So many things right now we can't do. But thank God when we get there, we can. Some of you have always wanted to shout. When you get there, you can. Some of you have always wanted to tell the Lord how much you love Him. You try to. When you get there, you can. We can. We can. A lot of things right now, we can't do. Today, I dealt with a situation. I'm not going into details, but I dealt with a situation and I wanted to help, but I can't. And Candy said, what did you do? I said, when I got alone, I cried. There's some things that we can't do. But glory to God, when we get to heaven, we can. We can.